CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, we are live on a Tuesday morning. Just after 6. Aloha. Ah, C.S. Angwene looking very smart this morning, like he's attending some important meeting today. What's going on with you? You decide to dress up for all of us? No, we can't hear you, C.S. Once more, onto the unmute button, my friend, once more.
You know what? We need a mute button jar now. It's getting ridiculous.
I think that could be a fun game you could play with your colleagues over the next few weeks. Get a mute button jar where if someone doesn't unmute themselves, you just punish them straight up.
How much are we putting in every time we do it?
I think it's going to be substantial to stop a bad habit, right?
Yeah. What's substantial?
I think like a 5 to 10 rant a time.
Okay.
Then we'll very quickly learn. I mean, I did it the other day, so I'm just as useless as everyone else. But this is happening. This is what our lives have come to. The unmute button. Unmute yourself, please, Sven. Denise, can you please unmute yourself? Teresa. Yes. I know you can hear us, Teresa, but we can't hear you.
Fuck.
This is humanity.
Now we're good.
You know, what would our ancestors say? They were storming the beaches of Normandy and fighting Hitler. And what are we doing? Unmute yourself, please.
Debbie,
your camera. We can't see you, Debbie.
It was a couple of weeks ago after we spoke about Shaka Zulu and the Zulu culture. Somehow after the show, I got into a YouTubing.
Yeah.
You know, Shaka Zulu and the movie and the series as well.
That series was so good.
Still freaks me out in some parts.
But
I can't.
See, think about when it was made in this country. We were making no quality stuff, really. Most of the stuff coming out of this,
The production value itself.
Yes, it was well done. Mm.
And so saw Henry Tsele playing Shaka Zulu, and the particular scene where he didn't want to wear shoes or sandals, rather, as part of the army going out to fight. And the general was like, well, you think your feet are tougher than these shoes? And he says, yes. And the general says, well, prove it. Stomp this hot coal out. Mm-hmm. And he does that. He just stomps it out with his bare foot.
Yep.
And then cut to 2020. We're just struggling.
Yeah. Shaka's impis, he would make them run over thorns, but not like little, you know, those little thorns that you get on, you know, grass that hasn't been cleared of weeds. No, those.
Yeah.
I'm talking those long ass things like acacia thorns, and they would lay them down on the ground, and he would make his, and they would run until they bled. And knew what pain was. And now, can't remember, my web link isn't working.
Yes.
Internet's frozen. Anyway.
Let's call our ancestors who survived scurvy and Wi-Fi leak.
No. People who had to spend their entire day just trying to find food. And we're going,
You know, Woolworths, I can't understand why their vegetables expire so quickly.
Yes. A couple of months ago, we were complaining to Woolies about not serving chicken.
Yeah. Why is your long life milk not extra long life?
Jesus. Man, okay, well, listen, let's be serious for just a second here, because I have had enough now. I see Catherine Child, who we've had on the show before, right? Catherine's terrific. She's a science writer. She says there have been 6 deaths. Listen to this number is, you know, this drives me up the wall. There have been 6 deaths in 48 hours of coronavirus in this country. And yet we're still in lockdown, and we're still in a national state of disaster. Everywhere I go, I see people being less and less interested in wearing these stupid masks. Now, I know that anyone who's listened to this show since March has understood, because I haven't shut up about it, what a stupid waste of time I have thought this lockdown was, how it has not saved lives, how there is absolutely no evidence to show that it has saved lives, how it's nowhere near as dangerous as all the politicians, doctors, medical experts, and people who are far more qualified than me have consistently told us it is. I have said from the outset, and yes, I know this is a bit of an I told you so, but fuck it, if I don't say I told you so, guess what? The next time I say something, people are going to go, oh, but what do you know? Well, here's what I – you didn't have to be a rocket scientist. You didn't have to have 3 degrees in medicine or immunology or in the spread of pandemics, epidemiology. You didn't have to be a statistician. You didn't have to know any of that stuff if you just applied some common sense and logic to the problem. And I've had enough of the stupid, stupid government of ours and the stupid, stupid government of other countries around the world who can think it's a good idea to continue a lockdown and who are now in Europe talking about a second wave. I saw Zweli Mkhize, who really should be concerning himself with all the instances of corruption in departments across the country that he should be presiding over. I don't want to hear from you fucking idiots anymore because you have been demonstrably wrong. Now, as if to illustrate the point to an almost ludicrous degree, the World Health Organization, which is, what are they? They're the people who, for all intents and purposes, started this panic in the first place. They also mismanaged the crisis in the beginning because they didn't know their ass from their elbow, okay? Clearly, all these humans who we regard as being so clever have let us down. WHO has backflipped. This is according to The Spectator in England, right? WHO's backflipped.
Well, no, I've backchecked it. A lot of other publications are talking about this.
I'd also like to say, like, there was, for example, I think Media Matters or whatever they're called in this country, who are a bunch of talk about stupid people. These guys have been towing the official WHO line for the longest time. So now I hope that they will go back and they will find all the media organizations that touted this disinformation the WHO was spreading around, because now they've changed their opinion. And I hope that they will be taking them all to the Broadcasting Complaints Commission and that they will be asking them for apologies for having spread disinformation, because that's what they were saying people like me were doing. Here, listen to this. WHO's backflipped on its original COVID-19 stance after calling for world leaders to stop locking down their countries and economies. Dr. David Nabarro from the WHO appealed to the world yesterday, telling them to stop using lockdowns as your primary control method for coronavirus. He also claimed that the only thing lockdowns achieved was poverty, with no mention of the potential lives saved. This is not some small thing, everybody. Let's just understand that we have been lied to. And although the coronavirus is not a hoax, it's a real thing. It has been overplayed, and it continues to be overplayed, by scurrilous politicians and by people who have consistently lied to you. If your girlfriend lied to you this much, you would break up with her. What you need to do now is break up with your government. You need to break up with their stupid rules. We need to end this charade, because that's what it is, of lockdown and of level one and of having to sanitize at every fucking building, shop or entrance or door that you walk through as if you're carrying some contagion around that is going to kill people. Clearly, this is not 8 deaths in the entire country in the last 2 days. We lose more people on a daily basis to TB, to HIV-related deaths, to suicide, frankly. We lose more people every day than we do to this thing anymore. It is no longer a health crisis. It is no longer a reason for us to be kept under a state of disaster. It is now a damned embarrassment to anyone who follows it, because you look like those paranoid, schizophrenic nutcases during the Middle Ages who would go around wearing a beak. That's what you look like. Except that the disease we're fighting now is nowhere near as dangerous or deadly as the bubonic plague, and we have learnt over the course of the last couple of months precisely what it is, that it is most likely to have been a laboratory-generated disease from China. And can we please stop playing this big game and pretending that we're all actors in some important play that's going to save humanity? We are not. This is a joke, and you look like fools. Stop it now. That's the World Health Organization. Don't take my word for it. Here's another story.
So WHO. This David,
yeah, go on.
I was just going to quote some more of David Nabarro saying, the only time we believe, we being the World Health Organization, believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it. Lockdowns just have one consequence that you must never, ever belittle, and that is making poor people an awful lot poorer.
Can I tell you something? If he's saying that from the WHO, this game is over now. The gig is up. It's time for you to break this relationship off now. Because the people who are trying to keep you in thrall now, their agenda is not, it's completely exposed. And this is not some conspiracy theory anymore. You can't accuse me of being the guy who's spreading disinformation. I said this in March. March, for God's sake. Bulelo, you've heard me rabbit on about this interminably for how long?
It is rather insufferable. It's become, but that's how long it's been.
But was I right?
I don't know. I will say,
What does the WHO say about how right I was?
Well, you didn't believe the WHO before. I don't know why now you take
the
word.
No, I'm just saying that this is the thing. I didn't believe them. Other people believed them. Other people told me they were gospel.
That's what I'm saying, is now you're saying you agree, yes,
no,
now
even,
that they're admitting they're off.
Even the people who were saying the opposite of what I was saying all those months ago are now saying what I'm saying. So in other words, we have seen a shift in this direction with very little and very few people of any credibility still clinging to those positions that they held back in March.
It doesn't look good. I think my problem as since time immemorial, as soon as science becomes politicized, becomes a problem. So
it
seems
that I agree with you.
Yeah. And then we have a real problem. That's my biggest concern.
And as I predicted then, again, I'm not Nostradamus. You just had to use your brain. And I know you agreed largely with me to a certain degree on most of these points. Lockdown has done more damage than it has done good. That is now irrefutable. When I went on that show with Ridi Tlabi and that petty socialist chap, and they were saying to me,
"Knockdown is going to stay."
Do you remember that? I want you to watch that again if you have the time or the energy, because I wouldn't go and watch it again. But I remember them saying, both of them, Ridi and this guy, you've got to be careful. What you're saying is dangerous. You could end up costing people lives. Lockdown is essential to save lives. Cyril, in every single speech that he's made to this country, has said, lockdown has saved lives. That's his line. Lockdown has saved lives. Bullshit. You are lying. There is absolutely no evidence to prove that your lockdown has saved a single life. You are now openly and blatantly lying to people. And it's just not going to work anymore, especially when your allies in places that you have said are the most credible places that we have to believe. Facebook would have closed you down, canceled you, banned your post if you'd said anything that went against the WHO a few months ago. Now the WHO is going against the WHO. I want to see how Facebook handle that.
So here's then the golden question.
Just enough. Let's give it up and let's just carry on like we were before.
The golden question is, where do we go from here?
Just end lockdown, and let's hope there's an election soon, and we can get these morons who made these bad decisions out. I've said since the beginning, there are four places we can assign blame for this disaster, because it's a disaster. Not in terms of a national disaster that you have to declare in order to deal with a virus. It's a disaster in terms of administration and management of this disease. They fucked it up colossally. First one is the government. We need to prove to them that they don't get away with bad decisions, just like we don't want them to get away with corruption. It's time to vote these people out. I would take any government over the government we have right now, because they've proven complete gross incompetence and an inability to manage this thing. And they've had, along the way, every reason to reevaluate. And we're still stuck on level one in October. And they're talking about a second wave. 8 people died in the last 48 hours. Irrefutable. Those are their statistics, not mine. So that's number one. Number two, China needs to be held responsible. I know that this is an unpopular political point of view, but China unleashed this thing on the world. They also gave us bad information, if any information, for those first few weeks, which were critical, and they need to be punished for it. Economically, socially, politically. The third group that need to be held responsible are the media. Not those people who were saying this thing, this lockdown's a bad idea like we were, but those people who were towing the government line, who were allowing information that seemed to be, after a while, inaccurate. I want them to revise their positions or to pay a price for their positions if they continue to hold them inaccurately. And the fourth group are all these experts who got it so wrong. All these people with PhDs, all these people with science degrees who were cajoled by politicians. And Mbulela's not wrong. Like, politics came in and ruined the science because science became politicized. It became a football for politicians to throw around rather than what science should be, which is an objective way to evaluate and understand the world around us. And I want all those experts who were politicized and allowed themselves to be used in that way to be fired. Fired. Our universities must be cleaned out from top to bottom of people who have done political things rather than things that have to do with the facts and with learning. And then we can move on. That's what we need to do, Sia, and it needs to end today. Open up all international flights, open up the borders, stop people from having to go through these stupid acts every day, this ridiculous put on your mask and be careful of other people because they're dangerous. Mm-hmm. Start treating people like normal human beings. And if you are afraid, you may continue to social distance.
You still have that right to do
so. Absolutely. Stay away from other people. You can do whatever you like. I respect that right that you have. If you are still afraid, you are also still misinformed, because now even the WHO is telling you that those things were wrong. But let's leave it alone, because this will be my last I told you so.
I just want to know, as a double underline, is are you suggesting Nuremberg type of China come to the table?
No, I don't want to see people put to death. Nuremberg was about trying to figure out who the worst person during World War II was. But there is a cost.
You said China has to pay. Let's get it clear what you mean.
Don't ask me. Ask the people who've lost their jobs. Ask the people who can't support their children and their families anymore. Ask the people who found themselves impoverished by this situation. And ask the people who have been at the receiving end of all the damage that lockdown has done. Ask them, because they're the ones who will demand courts and repercussions and punishment. I don't have a dog in that fight. We've managed to keep this business alive. Things are not where they should be. You know that. Sia knows that. I know that. Everybody else who works with us does. People have had to make sacrifices. It has been horrible. This year has been horrible. When I went to sleep last night, I was thinking, and I'm a positive, optimistic guy. I was like, geez, I had a great 2018 and 2019. You know, you go through your photos sometimes. You're like, wow, what a great year I had in 2018 and 19. What do I have to show for 2020? Well, I've survived, and I'm still optimistic. I'm just very disappointed that this year wasn't all the things it could be. We took the potential of 2020, we squandered it. There was an opportunity here for the whole of humanity to rally together and to do something positive, to stand by each other, to stand up for each other. We turned into a world of neighbors telling on each other, of fear-mongering, of believing supranational bodies that had agendas, who've clearly had to revise their positions because they were wrong, or they just outright lied. We've been victims of governments who've clung back and reclaimed rights that they gave us, that we were given by God or by the Constitution, and governments have taken back some of those rights, and we have to fight every day to now regain them. There needs to be something, but don't ask me what the punishment ought to be. I'm not a judge. Let's appoint a commission. We've got so much money to waste on commissions in this country. Let's have a commission. Let's hold the people in that medical advisory council that Zweli Mkhize has just fired everyone from. Let's get them to explain to the South African people what happened behind closed doors. Let's get Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma and COGTA, who had so much to do with these ridiculous lockdown laws that were pursued. Let's get them to account for themselves. Like you would the CEO of a company if you were a shareholder and your company lost a fortune, which is what our country's company has lost. South Africa Inc. has been devalued to a greater degree during this year than almost anything that Zuma did. Think about that.
Damn.
We need to hold our CEO and the rest of the directors, that's the ministers, accountable for the disgraceful way they've managed this country. And don't come to me with that, oh, but nobody knew and it was such a difficult job. We've said all that.
Okay.
I've been sympathetic. But if you want to be in government, if you want to be where the fire is, you better be able to handle the heat. Like Shaka Zulu's putting out that coal. If you can't put out that coal with your bare foot, don't go into government. Then just be a trade union leader like you were before, Cyril. Or Nkosi Sana, go back to university. You don't have to be in government. No one's forcing you. No one's saying to you, you must take the mantle of responsibility. Well, you know, Churchill always said that there are people who are born leaders. There are people who grow into greatness, and there are people who have greatness thrust upon them. Well, you had an opportunity to be at least two of those, and you weren't.
Oh,
you weren't.
You
failed.
I think we have mentioned this to some degree over the past couple of months in conversation, but I think particularly when it comes to government and people who are in positions of power, who made these decisions that we are feeling the impact of now, will not admit to the truth of where we're at now, because that will mean they have to admit they were wrong. And that will mean they have to admit that their intent was power what mattered to them.
Basically, the mask.
And that will mean they have to show the fact that they have been playing their own game and not prioritizing us first.
Correct. And see, without being too ironic, the masks are off. Now we can see what the face is underneath. And that face was never... there's a nice book title. That face was never being honest with you. That face was grimacing at you under that mask. So V says, yawn, move on. Well, V, I'm glad you can just move on, because here's Chantel from Cape Town who says, Gareth, thank you for this. I had to close my business and I'm trying to start again, which is costing a fortune. It has been rough and horrible, and for the first time in my life, I am broke as fuck. I worked my tush off to build my business, and just like that, it was ripped away. Lives were lost, but more was lost by the stupid lockdown. Hashtag end the lockdown, Chantel from Cape Town. So I'm sorry, V, that you don't have any sympathy for Chantel or for other people in her position. And maybe you're fine, V. Maybe you're okay and this hasn't affected you. Maybe you even work for government and you just had the same salary that you had in January. It's not like that for everybody. So I'm sorry if it's boring for you. You can always listen to something else. I'm not forcing you to listen to this show either. Gareth, it's not he who casts the vote that counts, but those who count the votes. Yeah, don't get conspiratorial on me. Enough with this bullshit, Gareth. If you're still scared of COVID, then you hide and you wear your mask. I agree with that. That's from Hameen. And there are lots of others. I mean, there's this dude in Australia who also... apparently shares this point of view. Get him broadcasting to the world. This guy in Australia, I think on Sky, I can't remember his name, Adam something or another, but he would be a great guest too. So we'll see if we can get him at some point. He's a TV broadcaster. But there are lots of people who agree with this. It's over. The leader of the free world got COVID, this terrible, dangerous disease that we've stopped everything in its tracks for. And what did he do? I'm going to hospital. I'm going to be fine. 3 days later, the motherfucker comes out. Now, he's obese or at least overweight, according to some people. And this is a topic for a show that we do on TV tomorrow night. What's obesity? What's morbid obesity? Donald Trump emerges from the hospital like Neville Chamberlain coming down the stairs of that aircraft with the, we have peace in our time. And he's, I beat COVID. You can beat COVID. Come on. This guy's in the age bracket where we were told it was dangerous.
His new quote is, I've never felt so powerful.
Listen,
I mean, stop making it sound like a superpower, Gene.
He's unbelievable. But there is a silver lining here. A friend of mine who loves one of the most insufferable pieces of art that exist called The Ellen Show. apparently Ellen has stopped dancing, and that is something where the pandemic's been positive.
You know,
I mean, let's take silver lining.
Yeah, that's
every cloud.
You know what? That's the definite plus of lockdown. Yeah, I agree with you, Mbulela.
Sorry, let's just rephrase that. You called it the most insufferable piece of art.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's Linda. Okay. Listen to what Linda says quickly, and then we'll get to headlines, because I think this is important. My mom died at home in July from cancer because hospice was closed and I couldn't afford a private nurse. So sorry, I cannot get over this in a hurry. See? Mm-hmm. So those people who think that this is boring, really and truly, I think you're being extremely selfish because you're over it and you're okay. And frankly, I'm okay. I could also just go, come on, stop moaning, guys. Let's be optimistic. Let's support Cyril. Do you remember those people who were praying for Cyril? Do you remember those people?
It was, Cyril Fridays or something. Yeah. Thank you, Fridays.
Thank you for your leadership. We are led. Do you remember that?
We are
led. Do you remember those motherfuckers? Anyway, Andrew's correcting something. He says that wasn't Churchill, Gareth. He was actually quoting Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention to that in matric English.
Hey, second time, because you did, I think, Henry at the beginning there once more onto the bridge. Which you brought in.
Yes, that's from Henry V.
Indeed.
Shakespeare. I love me some Shakespeare. All right. Very good. And I'd like to say that anybody who's feeling the same way, the frustration that you've felt over 6 months now, you're allowed to say you were right. And if that gives you a little bit of joy and it allows you to lord it over those who were so wrong, you go out there and you enjoy it now, because even their blessed, beloved WHO isn't standing by them anymore. The fear people. You know the fear crew? The ones who were like, stay home, stay safe, stay safe, stay home. Remember those people?
I'd not like that.
Those people. I want to go around and I want to stand outside those people's houses, and you can do it too, and go, you were fucking wrong, you moron. All right.
Let's see.
I'm now predicting the
UN will say something as well.
Oh, well, we're all waiting for the UN, aren't we? We're all waiting for them. They're such leaders. We are led. Yoli says, wow, so much eye candy this morning. Mbulelo has sexy eyes. Sia's skin is ever glowing. And Sia has beautiful hands. And Gareth, nothing is sweeter than white chocolate. Delicious day.
The term white chocolate has been ruined for me by Tom Hanks' son.
Oh, that guy. Oh, he's terrible. Yes. Oh, he's terrible.
Who grew up in the middle of Beverly Hills, but calls himself White Chocolate, a.k.a. Chet Hayes,
that's him, Chet Hayes.
Speaks with Eponics. Yes.
What an idiot. All right, so let's get to some headlines, everybody. We've got things to do. We can't fuck around all morning. Where are we? First, from ENCA, the police are allegedly involved in stock theft. Is anyone surprised by that?
I am. I didn't know Sting was into that.
The Independent Police Investigative Directorate is investigating allegations of police collusion in the theft of livestock around the Free State town of Senekal. This as Police Minister Becky Cele confirmed one suspect in the Brendan Hornick murder case that has previously been arrested on 16 occasions. Guys, if you've been arrested 16 times, you are a piece of filth that needs to be stamped out. I don't think that's unreasonable after 16 arrests. And remember, all of this whole Brendan Horner case, and look it up if you don't know the details of it, because we've spoken about it once or twice. It is a potential fire starter. You had all of these Buddha who arrived at the Senekal court the other day because they chat full, and they turned over a police van, and they basically did what anyone in this country does when we're pissed off with government. They protested and they got violent, right? This is what you do to get government's attention in South Africa. I don't like it. I'm sure you don't like it. But these guys are only doing what happens in service delivery protests all over the country. So let's not pretend they're worse than people in a township who are chatful too. They're just as entitled, frankly, to behave badly, because that's the only way we do behave in this country. This thing happened, and it emerges now, that the police themselves are involved in some of this livestock. Now, this guy, this Brendan Horner, was managing a farm, and he was trying to find out why people were stealing cattle. So it turns out the police have been involved in stealing cattle, and the police may have murdered this man. This guy has been arrested 16 times. 16. Not once for, you know, Dacha.
Wow.
I'd like to know, he says, this is Becky Taylor, and so would I, and I'm sure you would too, why a person has been arrested 16 times and is given another chance to commit another crime. Nearly 2 weeks ago, the farm foreman, that's Brendan Horner, was found murdered, apparently after he stumbled across stock thieves who turned on him. Photos of alleged stock thieves form part of an extensive dossier. Most startling is the alleged link to the police. Farmers who conducted their own investigations tracked cell phone numbers and vehicles to police officers. Horner's alleged murderers are expected back in court on Friday. LS says that the police will be deployed in their numbers to avoid a repeat of the violent scenes which played out last week. It's just gross. The whole thing's just gross. Yeah. It's very, very deeply disappointing. ANC in Gauteng has supported the DA MPL for laying sexual harassment charges against, this is unbelievable, Solim Simanga, right, from the DA.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said,
no.
Yes, dude, this is how we go after people now. So, turns out, there are sexual harassment charges being laid against Solim Simanga. In a statement, the ANC commended the bravery of Molapo, that is Nkele Molapo, who has laid sexual harassment charges. She's being lauded for standing up for herself and all women in the province. The ANC said it was shameful that the DA was discrediting and vilifying the complainant by further subjecting her to humiliation through casting aspersions on her integrity. Msimanga has questioned the timing of Molapo's allegations that has come 6 years after the alleged abuse. He said Molapo never once mentioned being harassed while working with him, and he has laid a Creamen and Uria case against her. So, again, we're at this juncture. Either there is malfeasance on the part of a politician, which wouldn't be the first time. I mean, I love the way the ANC are trying to get the moral high ground here and saying, oh,
I was going to say.
Yeah, so, Solim Simanga is a sexual predator. Like, these guys have openly aided and abetted women abusers and kept them in office. This party does not believe all women when they allege things against the ANC. In fact, the opposite is true.
No, and the blood is on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Far, oh, my God.
But now, if, okay, look, maybe Sully's a dark guy. Maybe we don't know, but he treats women badly. Maybe he did have a little affair with this woman and she decided that it wasn't a consensual affair and now she's decided to take, I don't know what the situation is. We'll find out, no doubt. But we know that this is all about politics. We know they don't care about this poor woman.
Oh, of course.
We know that.
But I was oddly taken and pleasantly surprised yesterday when I first saw the story start to bubble up to the surface. Solly's doing the media rounds, and he himself is doing the media rounds. It's not his spokesperson. It's not the DA. It's not, you know, just a statement that he released. He was chatting very frankly in this interview that I watched. And then on top of that, he says, I'm open and willing to do a lie detector test. I would like to do one. I would like this young lady to do one, and let's then see what comes out of it. I thought, well, okay. He's very firm on his stance of, you know, he didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens, because I'm suspicious of all of this. It's politics. Polish military divers have begun a delicate operation to defuse a giant British World War II bomb, which is at the bottom of a Baltic shipping canal. About 750 residents have been evacuated from the area near the port city of Siewierzynskie. You know how those Polish words never have any vowels in them? The operation.
Just try that one
Siewierzynskie.
It sounds that like the sequel to Lady Marmalade. Like,
So, the tall boy or earthquake bomb is 6 meters long and weighs 5.5 tons, nearly half of which is explosives. The RAF dropped it in a raid in 1945, which sank the German cruiser, the Lutzow. The bomb is embedded at a depth of 12 meters. And just the little nose is sticking out. Yes, 5.4 tons. Half of that is explosives. Iyo bangani iyo. That's not good. I hope they manage to defuse it. And while we're overseas and in Poland, the social network of Facebook has said its new policy prohibits any content that denies or distorts the Holocaust. Well, it's about time. Are you telling me that up to now, they thought that Holocaust denial was just another opinion? Because they've been telling people you can't post anything that goes against the WHO up to now. They've been telling you that you're racist if you say, you know, anything other than Black Lives Matter. So Facebook boss Mark Zuckerberg wrote that he had struggled with the tension between free speech and banning these posts. But this is the right balance. Oh, really, Mark? I'm so glad you've searched your soul. 2 years ago, he said, such posts should not automatically be taken down for getting it wrong. I'm Jewish, and there's a set of people who deny the Holocaust happened. Yes, we know what they're called. Liars. What was the guy from Iran? What was his name? The former president of Iran, who was the most...
Assad, or how far back?
No, Assad, Syria. Iran. Ahmadinejad, that's his name. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. This guy was saying, oh, the Holocaust didn't happen. It was never that many people. You know, these kinds of things. Well, thank you, Facebook, for catching up to actual history. You know, there's some people who really think history is all made up, especially 20th century history, where we have documentary evidence. We have actual photographs, video. We have the mass graves themselves. We have irrefutable evidence of the Holocaust. It just boggles my mind that there are still people in the world who think that this thing was made up. You have to be some kind of sick individual to do this. And thank God, Facebook, that paragon of virtue, that place of such righteousness, filled with people, and I'm talking about the ordinary users of Facebook who are so righteous, they know there was place and there was an ability for them to lie about things. And now, thanks to Mark Zuckerberg, we finally have some justice. Thank you, Mark. You're our only hope.
Bless you. Yeah, so bless you. What a mensch.
Well, it's taken you this long to figure out that Holocaust denial is a problem. And he's trying to position somehow free speech is at the opposite end of, you know, being someone who's historically not ignorant. Unbelievable. It's amazing how free speech gets cast as the bad guy in this situation. Free speech is precisely why bad ideas like Holocaust denial are dismantled. Free speech is your best weapon against things like Holocaust denial, because it allows people who are better informed to tell those who will believe a conspiracy theory how wrong they are. If you shut down free speech, what you do is you allow these conspiracies and these bad ideas and these outright lies to fester and grow. Since when is free speech the problem? It's not free speech to be a Holocaust denier. It is free speech for people who know that that is not true to debate with Holocaust deniers and eviscerate and humiliate them. The Commission on Presidential Debates. Have you heard about this? There is a commission that is supposedly bipartisan, also they say they're nonpartisan, that gets to decide how presidential debates are run. And they said on Friday they've canceled the showdown between Donald Trump and his challenger Joe Biden after the president said he would not participate in a virtual format. So,
ooh, I kind of like that Doe Biden.
Doe Biden.
Doe!
Yeah. Each candidate has now announced alternate plans for the date. It is now apparent there will be no debate. Well, the last one was such a disaster that they haven't covered themselves in glory, have they? But this commission on president, I mean, why should there be a commission like this? You know, we've been doing debates in civilized society for hundreds of years, thousands even.
Thousands. Ancient Greece, it's the real thing.
You know how the format for a debate works. There's a format. Let's just apply the format, because that format is meant to tame and civilize anyone who wishes to engage in a debate and show them the proper way to do so, so that the audience is not horrified and frustrated by the result. They should have two people sitting there, one from the right, one from the left, asking hard questions of Joe Biden and asking hard questions of Donald Trump. That's what you need. But it seems that even the idea of debating has been shifting and it seems to be operating in such a fashion as to make it impossible for either Donald Trump to behave himself, and that's mostly on him, but also ever to pose a difficult question to Joe Biden. You know, they've been asking him for 3 weeks now, are you going to stack the Supreme Court? You know what that is. That's where you appoint more than 9 justices. The Supreme Court, Amy Coney Barrett's currently being considered by the Senate to be confirmed as a Supreme Court justice, a nomination of President Trump's. Mm-hmm. And this should go ahead and should be finalized by the end of this week. But the Democrats have said, oh, well, if you put Amy Coney Barrett in, then we'll just stack the court. We'll just appoint 3 more justices if we win the election in November. Now, it would seem to me that playing with one of the branches of government and entirely reconstituting it and making it a political organ rather than an organ that interprets the law. And this has been going on for a while. I'm not an idiot. I don't think that this is the first time this has been raised. But Joe Biden should have a position on this, don't you think? And the people of America should be able to know before they go and cast their ballots, their votes, especially for the Senate, not just for Joe Biden, what they're voting for. Well, he has been asked. It's innumerable the number of times that he's been asked. He will not answer this question. Every time anyone says, will you stack the court, he goes, I'm not getting into that because then that'll become the issue. Well, yes, the reason we keep asking you is because it is an issue, Joe.
Right.
You dopey fool. He refuses to answer it. The American people don't deserve. He actually said the word. Someone asked him directly, do the American voters deserve to know your position on stacking the court? And he said no, straight up. So we're not even putting up the pretense anymore of caring about these things. What you gonna do? All right. The bomb will create a new chretchat, says JP. That bomb in the Polish River. I mainly listen to the podcast, but this is awesome to watch live and see the comments. Yeah, bo. You can join in the live viewing this morning of the show. You can just go to cliffcentral.com and click on the link. It's very, very easy. Be a part of the show live this morning.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah, by the way, if you're wondering where Pumi is, we've asked her to do the Burning Platform for a reunion with Canthan on Thursday. So we'll hopefully get some interesting points of view there. That's why she's not on the show this morning.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Da-na-na. Reunited. All right. Hi, guys. Is anyone else?
Oh, Bulele, don't shake your head. You know you want to join in.
No. I don't. I imagine Sia's life as one big musical, you know?
I bet you never heard you sing, Bulele.
Yeah, because well, I'm not Mariah Carey, but I do imagine your life just at home, just as a musical. Like, my boyfriend broke up with me, and you just start thumping Tevin Campbell in your mind, and like, I really do imagine your life like that. I think that's how you deal with any anxiety, and it's hilarious to me.
That's right. That's true.
Here's a breaking story for you this morning. A deputy national police commissioner has been arrested. She's being processed at the Hillbrow police station. The arrest is in connection with supply of emergency warning equipment to the SAPS back in 2017. She's charged with corruption, fraud, theft, and money laundering. That's a deputy national commissioner. So let's just recap quickly. Our police, the people who we rely on when we're in trouble. General Celebi, convicted of corruption. Ndluli, convicted kidnapping and assault. Lieutenant General Lamour, remember him? Convicted for corruption. Pahlane, case ongoing, corruption. Lieutenant General Ramokosi, case ongoing for the VBS corruption scandal. Lieutenant General Shezi, case ongoing, suspended with General Ramokosi on a full salary for 106 million. That disappeared from South African police coffers in 2018. Lieutenant General Ngobeni. Remember, Lieutenant General's the top rank in the police, right? Case ongoing. Mokwena, case ongoing. Deliwe Delanga, case ongoing. Napo, implicated with Pahlane. Ramanjalum, implicated with Pahlane. Nomburuza. Oh, no, it goes on. I'm counting 15... in the rank of lieutenant and major and brigadier general. in the police, you know, because we changed those to police military designations. But these are the level of commissioner, provincial commissioner, national commissioner. 15 people in the police who've all been charged with corruption or worse in the case of...
So corruption is just a rite of passage.
It seems to be the way that you get to the top in the SAPS. It seems to be something that you have to do, like a competency test, in order to be at the top of the police. So, and these are the guys that we look to protect us. I will say it again, and I went to a police station on Friday last week to go and renew my gun license. And I was met with such indifference at the police station. First of all, I stood in the queue like everybody else and waited for the desk. And then I was told, no, you're in the wrong queue, which is always the best feeling in the world because no one bothers to tell anyone what's going on there. Then I found a woman in an office at the back of the police station. Through sheer
police
fluke,
station,
by the way.
All that they painted in that yucky green or blue color, right? It's still the same.
Look, a police station's a horrible place because no one goes to a police station because they love going to the police station. It's not a fun park.
Then they have like three framed photos, one of the president,
right.
Then I think Becky Cele is always framed.
I think the deputy president, Didi Mabuza, who no one's seen for a while, but he's there as well.
And then there's always just one random chair that's broken, at least.
Exactly. No, were you at the police station too on Friday? Because you just described it to a T.
They're all the same. They're all the same.
But I'd like to hear your police station story because I had one the other day. Let's hear it.
I mean,
I interrupted you.
I was made to feel that I was wasting their time. And who the hell do I think I am, first of all, bothering them? She had lots of papers on her desk and was very busy. And I knocked on the door and said, sorry to disturb. And she said, yes. And I said, I just want to sort out my application for this license. Oh, no, you must first do this and you must first do that. And then phone us and you can come back at some point. But I was told off. She was not trying to be helpful. And I didn't expect her to give me a big kiss and tell me to sit down and make me a cup of tea. I just wanted to know what needed to be done. But honestly, I felt like I was invading her space. I was made to feel like I was in the way. And I got out of there as quickly as I could with no resolution. So I may or may not go back. I'll figure out what needs to be done. I'll obviously have to go through the motions in order to get this license renewed, but what a nightmare.
What happened to you, Mbulela?
So, you know, it was troubling to me because I live in one of the nicer parts of the African continent. So if the police station where I live was the service was like this, I don't want to know what it's like for 90% of South Africans.
Oh,
so
my God.
I took a certified copy of my ID. And I went to go and change it. I'm terrible at dealing with service in general. I'm a short person. Just be quiet, do your job, I'll leave at the best of times. And now I've got this person who's making me feel like, so my ID has an organ donor sign on it instead of, instead of having no organ donor sign. So the copy didn't have an organ donor sign because it was an old copy, but my ID currently has organ donor on it as I pull it out. And my God, the process of them now wielding the power of I'm in charge and come back. Like, what are we doing here, dude? And it was just like half an hour of him kind of squeezing it out of me how wrong I am for having a sticker on my original, but not one on the copy now. And it was just like, this is unbelievable. Like, your job is to go and help these poor women and men out there where there's crime happening, and you're wasting my time putting your thumb on me about an ID copy. And like you say, just feeling like I'm in the wrong because I put a sticker on my ID. Like, just revolting.
Yeah.
And not trained for the task, quite frankly. Trained for the task.
Well, this is the other thing. Is like you get the feeling, the distinct feeling that no one really wants to be in the police. They just had to get a job, and this is what they could get. And, you know, I'm very aware of the fact that policing is a very difficult job. I get that. It's not pleasant. It's not easy. You have having to deal with people who are in trouble. You've got bad things happening in their lives. No one goes to the police because you're having a great day. But you know, there's a level of, like, if you're going to be in the police, if that's your job, why not be better at it? Why not go to work and try to make things better, not worse? Otherwise, don't be a policeman if it's so unpleasant. No one's forcing you. You know, there aren't a lot of jobs, but my God, if you're doing one that you absolutely hate, better to not have a job than to do something you hate. Or better to go out and find something that, even if it doesn't make you a lot of money in the beginning, that you love, that you're good at. Imagine being stuck in something that you can't do because you don't have the ability to do it, or that you hate doing. Oh, I'd hate that. That would be awful. Anyway, all right.
Well, they have to deal with those green yucky walls. I think
Sia's just worried about the interior decor of the police.
It is so bad. Yeah. I have yet actually. I guess like the union buildings and Parliament are best looking public buildings. Everything else, ugh.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's something interesting. I'm watching you guys on my main screen with Home Theater 7.1. Nice, guys. Ooh. Keep up the good work. Uh-huh. That's coming from Roger this morning.
Now, jeez.
Roger's got a hell of a AV set up there in his house. Nice, Roger. Well, we're happy that the quality is sufficient for your excellent sound system. I would be very embarrassed if we were broadcasting in, you know, poor sound quality for you, because then it wouldn't be worth it. But yes, you can watch the show live. We are live this morning on cliffcentral.com. You can also listen to the podcast later and do all the things that we've always been doing. But what's nice about this is we get to interact with you straight away. And you get to see what we're up to. You get to see if we're paying attention or not. It is 7 o'clock. We've got lots of other stuff to talk about. We've also got Blind History, Season 4, Episode 4 today, which is great. So stick around for all of that. Oh, before we break for 7 o'clock, the special payout for the month of October on the U.S. Powerball, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mega Millions keeps on growing and is now standing at 6.8 billion rand.
Oh, my gosh.
So, we all dream, right? We all dream. 6.8 billion rand is the U.S. Mega Millions. 5.9 billion is the U.S. Powerball. Don't give up if you haven't won yet. Lotto is like a relationship. You don't get married after the first date. Keep on betting. You might just get lucky enough to find the right numbers. Bet now at lottoland.co.za. You know, we spoke to Marika the other day. We're going to speak to her again at some point very soon. Lottoland is licensed with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. You have to be 18 years or older to place a bet. Winners know when to stop. The National Responsible Gambling Toll-Free Counseling Line is 0800-006-008. There are people who love to gamble. Maybe this is for you. Go and place your bet, lottoland.co.za. Very nice. All right, we'll return in a moment with even more for you, including, I see... Figini Mbalula has been reprimanded over his tweets about Kebby Mapatswe and Carl Niehaus. And now he's having a little tantrum because, as I've said before, he's a bit of a man-child.
Is he still questioning people's cadre status?
I think so.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I mean, what do we make of this, right? What do we make of this guy? We'll have to talk about it just now. Lots to think about, lots to talk about, and lots to hear from you about this morning. 0797482090. Tell us what you're up to.
CliffCentral.com.